God bless you. Please be seated. Todd and I were talking just a little bit before this service, and we said, you know, we should have had a theme song for our theme. And then I thought, well, we did. Last week we were singing that one about Zach Williams' song about Nothing's Gonna Steal My Joy. So, yeah, nothing's gonna steal my joy. Today I'm gonna talk about joy in the journey. And since joy is a fruit of the Spirit, you can see that in Galatians 5:22, it's something that we have because of the gift of Holy Spirit inside of us. But now, I don't know about you, but have there been some times where you felt a little depressed, you know, things weren't going so great, you wanted to accomplish something and it just got sidetracked? Ever been discouraged? I'm raising my hand here. Well, the answer to it is to find joy in the journey. And I want to tell you a little bit about this word joy in from the Hebrew and Aramaic words. And you know how I love to do that, right? Well, the very root word of joy is the word one. Do you remember in Deuteronomy 6, it's called the Shema. It says, the Lord our God is one God, right? He's one Lord. And the word one is the foundation for joy, because the word one is pronounced kad. Okay, then joy is kada. And what kada means, it's made up of two main letters. Kath, which is the picture of a fence, right? Okay. A fence. And the dalet, the D, is a picture of a door. So you have, here you have a fence or a wall, right? There is a door that goes so you can go in and out of the fence, right? All right. Well, that's what happens with joy, is we get united with God when we go inside the door and we fellowship with him. Remember 1 John 1? Our fellowship is with him and with God and with Jesus Christ our Lord. And I tell you these things so that your joy may be full. In order to have joy, we actually have to go in a door somewhere. Okay, keep that in mind. All right. Now, think about the word unity, or, you know, you get unity from the word one, correct? Are you tracking with me here? Okay, all right. You get the word unity from the word one. Now, many, many things in our lives have a unity. For example, we were all born into a family, right? That's a family unit. You can't ever change that. You always are going to have the same mother and father. Even if you are not living with them right now, you are a part of, you have a unity with your family just by nature of birth. Well, we have a unity with, in our bodies, right? We have all these different parts of the body, and you could define each part, but really, when you just say body, you're talking about every part of it. So there's a unity in the body. It functions together, and it's one thing. Another example would be like a tree that's growing up in a forest. Well, the tree is just one tree, right? But it's in a forest. So it's part of the forest. It has a unity with the forest. Are you getting now how I'm talking about this? This is how we are in a family of the body of Christ, and we are one person, and we can have one relationship with God as our Father and Jesus as our Lord. But we are also part of this unity where we all have gone in the door, and we can go in the door together. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that too. But joy has this intrinsic idea of unity with God. Now, I want to read you a couple verses, and you can turn there if you like. Psalm 21. I think last week Bob was talking about, in thy presence is fullness of joy, right? And part of the whole thing I'm going to do today is just sort of build on that idea that it's in the presence of God where we find this joy. And David always had a lot of trials in his life. He, you know, Saul was chasing him around for almost 9 years before he got anointed to be king, probably about 20 years, give or take some in there, before he actually was a king. So do you think that he had a little frustration along the way, or a little, idea of like, you know, really, God, is this ever going to come to pass? You said it would. Samuel anointed me, but I don't see it. I don't see it happening, right? You know, he was a man. He had the same thoughts that we do. So this is what he says, though, in verse 6. For you make him most blessed forever. He's actually talking about himself. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. God makes him, David, most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king, that's him, trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. On my way to heaven, I shall not be moved. Right. Okay. Part of this idea of being in God's presence is, it's exactly what was in the manifestations. We have a choice. There's a choice. We can have joy in the journey, or we can be miserable. So it's a choice. Now look at 1 Chronicles 16. And in verse 25, it says, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods." Above how many gods? All. "For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him." And get this, "strength and joy are in his place," or in his presence. Strength and joy. We talked a lot when we were teaching about the armor about strength, right? How it's not our strength. It's being strong in the Lord, in his might. So joy is a very, very similar kind of thing. It's not our joy. You can't find joy in the circumstances. You can find happiness to some degree, you know, I mean, being with my grandkids makes me happy, you know, and it, because it's tied in with the fact that they're believers, they're part of my family, there's a great unity there anyway, there is some joy, but it's an external joy. And you know, it could be erased at any moment. The internal kind of joy that God gives us by way of the Spirit is something that we don't ever have to lose. So just to kind of sum up what I've said so far, there's a door that goes into God's presence, and that's joy. That's where you go to find joy. And look, just go over to 1 John. I want to show you something here. 1 John chapter 1. And in verse 3, it says, "And what we have seen and heard, we also make known to you, so that you would have fellowship with us." See how this unity idea, there's a oneness in how we live in the family together. "But our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, so that our joy that is in you would be full." Our joy that is in you. So not only do we have the joy, the privilege of having a relationship with God ourselves, but we have a relationship with God together so that our joy can be full. So when something happens to one of us, then we have a neighbor next to it. Remember the shield, you know, putting up the shield for each other and standing together with each other, resisting the evil one together. Because there's times where I get frustrated and I need you. I need you to stand by me and go, no, that's not okay. You can find joy in this because I'm here with you. I love you just as much as God loves you. And we hold each other's hands. We stand together. And we sing like that song about, Lord, I need you. I need you. But I need you too. I need you to be in my life to help me to find this joy in the journey. All right. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. The journey of life is not a straight up road. Like, that road looks like it's just going straight, right? But you know that right around that mountain, it's going to curve. And you're going to have to go around that mountain or up over it or something, right? It looks like it's straight, but then as soon as you get up there, there's some sort of curve that gets thrown your way, right? Well, Hebrews 12 is talking about this. Verse 1, because of this also, we who have all these witnesses that surround us like a cloud should unfasten all our burdens from us, even the sin that is prepared for us, and we should run with patience this race that is set for us. We have to, in order to find joy in the journey, we have to unfasten the burdens or lay aside every weight is what King James says, right? How many weights? Oh, well, these ones I think I really want to hold on to. No. You have to lay aside all the burdens. Because they slow us down. See, then you don't get to go around the mountain. In order to find joy in the journey, you have to lay down the burdens. And the sin which does so easily beset us. And one translation, the New American Standard says, the sin which easily entangles us. And I thought about how we lay our burdens down is that it's like a big ball of string sometimes, and you have to untangle it little by little by little, right? It's not always like this immediate, okay, I'm done, now I'm joyful, yay! It's a process, it's a walk, it's a journey. So that's the first thing is unfasten all the burdens and run with patience. So then verse 2, here's another key. We should look at Jesus, who was the initiator and finisher of our faith, who for the joy there was for him endured the cross and discounted the shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, therefore, how much he endured from sinners who are contrary to themselves, so that you should not be weary or your soul become faint. When we have times of discouragement or there's pain in the journey, he's a pain taker, right? He's a chain breaker. We have to look to Jesus to see that he had joy in spite of being the most persecuted and devastated person that has ever existed. Verse 4 says, you have not yet come to shedding of blood in the contest that's against sin. So if he did that and it said that he had joy, then it's possible to have joy no matter what pain we're going through, no matter what is happening, no matter how the journey takes us. And we find the joy because we look at him and go, well, yeah, but he was the Son of God. How am I supposed to get that? All right. You have to look over at John chapter 15. There's another really cool verse in Acts about how David said, I set the Lord always before my face. So when he was looking at a situation, you say like, okay, this is the situation. These are the facts. This is what's happening. But when he looked there, all he could see was the Lord. And when he looked over here and he looked at the, and these are the facts. This is what's happening. This is what's going on in my life. This is what's hurting me. I don't understand. I don't have an answer in this. I need a job, whatever it is. But that's the facts. The truth is that the Lord can be right there in front of your face. And in his presence, see, is the fullness of joy. So we lay the burdens down and focus on him. Oh, look at this. This is amazing. Verse 9. This is talking about the vine and the branches and how you abide in Christ, right? And in verse 9, it says, as my Father has loved me, so also I have loved you. Remain in my love or my compassion. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love as I have kept the commandments of my Father and remain in his love. Now, listen to this. These things I have spoken with you so that my joy would be in you and that your joy would be made full. Woo! All right. Jesus knew that the Father loved him, right? He lived that way. He always obeyed the will of the Father. And because of that, all the way through till the cross, he had joy. And now he says, I'm going to give you my joy. I'm going to give you my joy so that your joy would be made full. And that word made full in Aramaic is like, it's the most intense passive verb you can have. So it means, like a passive means the action is done to the subject. So this is God doing this for us through Jesus, okay? Our joy is made full. It's made completely, absolutely, fully supplied. That's how you could translate it. Not just a little bit full, but completely supplied. So the next time, I'm talking to myself here too, the next time I wonder, how am I going to make it through this situation? I'm not going to look inside myself to try to find the joy. I'm going to look to Jesus. And I'm going to look to him and put that in my heart that he gave me his joy. So it's not unattainable. You see? Woo. All right. I wanted to just read one record in the book of Acts. It's pretty short. We could see it. Paul was preaching and he had come to Ephesus and he was preaching chapter 20 and verse 7. And on the first day of the week, when we were assembled to break the bread of communion, Paul spoke with them because the next day he was going to leave. Well, first of all, here you have a man who has worked with these people, loved them, cared for them, and he's leaving. He's going. He's going to go to Jerusalem. And so there must have been, you know, some sorrow there, some distress, just from that alone. Okay, where were we? Because the next day he was going to leave, and he continued to speak until the middle of the night. Well, if I had, my pastor was leaving, I'd want to listen to him till the middle of the night too. It was like, what else you got to say? I need to hear what you're going to share with me because it's going to have to hold me. Verse 8, and there were many lamps burning there in that upper room where we were gathered. We, when it says we, that means Luke was with him. And a certain young man whose name was Eutychus was sitting in a window and listening. And he sunk into a deep sleep while Paul was continuing the speech. Okay. Right. Not that it was necessarily boring, but, you know. He sank into a deep sleep while Paul was continuing the speech. And in his sleep, he fell from the third loft or the third story and was taken up as dead. Whoa. That must have been incredibly intense time, right? Here, this is probably a young man, a young boy, however old. He falls from the third story down, wham, dead. And everybody's like, oh man, what are we going to do? So Paul goes there. He went down and he fell on him and he embraced him. And he said, do not be troubled because his life is in him. And he came back to life just like that. They went on. He went on talking. Oh yeah, just excuse me here. We'll just raise this kid from the dead. So what? But it was a normal part of what he did and what he believed God would do, is that no matter what the tragedy was going on, you just walk through it. You do what you got to do in the moment. If someone's standing in front of you and they don't know Christ, then you preach Christ. If someone's standing in front of you that needs to be healed, then you heal them. It's a journey, right? Okay. So then look at verse 11. It says, now when he had gone back up, he broke bread and ate and continued speaking until the morning dawned. And then he left to go on by land. And they let out the young man alive and rejoiced in him greatly. When we walk, see, through circumstances, it issues out in thanksgiving, praise, and honor to God. And you just can't help but rejoice. So cool to hear about the Pro Mentor program, and I know it's blessed Dan and Robert and many other people, and it's just one way that believers all over the world are ministering to the family, to each other, and to the world. We rejoice. We can rejoice about everything we hear. I don't know. I've heard lots of really cool testimonies lately about how God has done some really, really amazing things. Okay, I want to play you a song. It's called Come to the Altar. And then I'll just wrap the whole thing up after we hear this song. This is sung by a group of students from Lee University. And they sing it completely a cappella. Like, you'll see a man in here who's actually doing percussion with his mouth. I mean, and this song was originally done by Elevation Worship, and it's really a wonderful song. But I think you will really enjoy the lyrics in this song. And I want to read you just one of the lines. The chorus goes, oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So when you're listening to this, just picture God's arms open wide, just like draw us into his presence to help us to lay all the burdens down, to help us to focus on his joy, Jesus' joy. And then the verse goes, leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today. There's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. All right, we'll just enjoy listening to it.
And mistakes come today, there's no trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to
Jesus is calling. He's calling us to go in those arms that are open wide that the Father has and tell the world of the treasure you found. The joy that can really just start bubbling up in our hearts is His joy. It comes from going in the door to be with His, in His presence, to laying our burdens down, and to looking to Him only. Not the circumstances, okay? Because if we look at the circumstances, we're going to be discouraged. So I just want to end in 1 Peter. In chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who by His great mercy has fathered us anew to the hope of life by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." We've been given a hope that the hope for the future, right? So the end of the journey, that what's at the very end of it, is life eternal with Jesus Christ our Lord. So even if there's zigzags along the way and you have to go around some mountains and go through some tunnels and be in a valley for a while, whatever it is, there's continuous joy in his presence all along the way until we actually get to be in his presence, right? And verse 4, to an incorruptible and undefiled and unfailing inheritance that is prepared for you in heaven, being kept by the power of God and by faith for the life that is prepared to be revealed in the last time. We're going to have this incredible life. Verse 6, in which you will rejoice forever. Even though in this time you are discouraged a little by the various trials that have happened to you, it is so that the testing of your faith may appear more precious than refined gold that is refined by fire, for the glory and honor and praise at the appearing of Jesus Christ. King James says, you know, manifold temptations, right? But they are the various trials that have happened to you. We have a choice whether we want to be discouraged only a little and then grab onto the joy, or we want to be permanently taken out of the game. Because you can walk away out of the journey if you want to. But you can also stay in it until that gathering together day. We will be for the glory and honor and praise at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You have not seen him yet love, and by his faith you rejoice with glorious joy that is unspeakable. You can't explain what this joy is. Just know that you have it. It's because of the Spirit that you can walk through the door, abide in God's presence, be with him, and we will be with him forever. Yes! Find joy in the journey this week, okay? I love you guys. Mwah. Bless you.